Orkney Reading with Sunrise by Peter Maxwell Davis. Michael Seal, conductor of the BBC Concert Orchestra, our splendid bagpiper, was Robert Jordan, looking spectacular in his tartan, with violin solos from our leader, Charles Mutter. Professor Angie Hobbs, we've talked about how music demonstrates, illuminates, reveals, and sparks off our humanity as listeners. And listening to all this music live, I think, has just heightened everything that you've been saying. If we'd heard it all on tape, Would it have meant the same?
No, you wouldn't have the shared emotional experience. You wouldn't have that mutual transmission of energy between the performers and the audience, which I think is just fires everybody up.
It really doesn't. To people listening at home, is that yet another kind of human connection that's taking place?
Yes, because you're both listening by yourself in your kitchen or your car or whatever, but you're also joining in this group celebration.
Well, Angie, many thanks for joining me this evening. I know you're looking forward to the rest of Radio 3's weekend, asking the question, why music? But that's all from us here at Maida Vale, the BBC Concert Orchestra, conductor Michael Seal, and my wonderful guest, Professor Angie Hobbs. But there's still much more to discover in our Why Music weekend. Tomorrow morning, for instance, we have a focus on musical patterns and how composers have played with them. Professor Marcus du Sautoy will be presenting that. That's just one highlight among many. But now we continue our Why Music weekend with a special one-hour edition of World on Three. Marianne Kennedy is joined by the singer and song collector Sam Lee and music journalist Simon Broughton to play and discuss recordings of songs from around the world that have been sung at home or at work.
Over this weekend, Radio 3 is exploring the big question, why music? And when it comes to symphonies or two-hour Indian ragas or a finely crafted popular song, well, maybe that's a bit of a deep and meaningful question. But for the next hour, we're going to be hearing music like we heard at the beginning there, which is perhaps something with a more straightforward reason to be. We're going to hear songs from the UK and from across the world which have performed a function. Work songs, lullabies, song that accompanies something that you do and helps you to do it. Songs at work, songs at home, rather than songs in the concert hall. And these songs have been chosen by the two people in the studio with me now, singer and song collector Sam Lee and music journalist Simon Broughton. And I might be throwing one or two of my own choices in there too. So, Sam, tell us about that first piece of music. I think that must qualify as the original surf music.
It's one of my like real kind of happy songs, that one. It's the Finanoza Bamboo Band from Polynesia. And it's they play the bamboo pipes tuned with supposedly with coconut husk, but I think I'm told that there's probably flip flops they're using here.
I've certainly seen some of those bamboo bands played with flip flops.
It's a much better material, I think, than coconut husk.
I think it's more durable.
And that floppy slappy sound is just what you need to.
And to fit in with the theme of this next hour of music, it really is music of community.
Mm-hmm. And what's so wonderful is that there's so many people playing these instruments, and they're huge because they use absolutely, you know, the bass notes are really massive barrel-like pipes, and it's just everybody's playing them together and all the women are singing, and it's
It needs everybody to be together to make that particular kind of music.
Exactly. So it serves a very important function, I guess.
Okay, complete contrast next, and down to a single person.
Yeah, well, I mean, music of the homestead and songs that are there to be passed on from generation to generation. And this is a song that I recorded myself from an Irish traveller singer called Edward McDonough, lives out in the west of Ireland. And it's a version, a very interesting version, actually unusual melody to the I Wish I Wish or the Died for Love song. And Edward is a very private and quiet singer. And it took me about half an hour of pleading through the kitchen window for him to actually let me in so that I could record his songs, knowing that he was a reputable singer. And he let us into his kitchen, and there we sat for hours, as his family have done for hundreds of years, really, and listened to him sing.
Well, aren't we lucky that you're such a patient man?
Persuasive more.
Oh, right well he knew that he could care or spend. Right well he knew that he could wash or could ring. Are in the bonny small banks where the gold does lie, and he will lie down there till thou'll break of day. Or I wished, and sure I wished again. I wished I was a fair maid again, a fair maid again, sure I never will be. Oh, well, apples they will grow all in an ivy tree. Or of my true love, of he was as true as me. He never would leave me in poverty. Let her gold me melt, and let her silver me fly. And she will see the old day that she will be as poor as I. Oh, the reason why does he love this girl? Because she had more money than I. Let her gold me melt, and let her silver me fly. And she will see the old day that she will be as poor as I. Or I wished, and sure I wished again. I wished I was a fair maid again. A fair maid again, sure you never will be. Wheddles apples they will grow all in an ivy tree. Or I wished my baby was born by, and dressed and left in his dead horse knee, and for me to be dead, love, in yon lonesome grave. And the little green grass is growing over me, and the little green grass is growing over me.
Absolutely beautiful. Edward McDonagh recorded in his own home with the patience and persistence of Sam Lee there. Something very special about actually being in somebody's own home when they're sharing a song with you, Sam.
Yeah, well, you're in the space that they are most accustomed to, so there's a real naturality. But also there's the invitation to be part of that, you know, within their home is a real privilege.
I suppose we really think of the kind of high point of field recording as being the early and middle 20th century, where such a lot of work was being done. But that example there and your own work, Simon Broughton, is proof positive that there are still gems to be found.
Yes, of course, once recording equipment became portable, that was when people started to go out and about. I mean, really, at the first years of the 20th century, and one thinks of people like, you know, Bartok and Kodály going out and collecting music. This recording that I want to play now is one recorded in the digital era in Mali, and it's a work song. And for me, it does everything that a work song should do. It comes out of the rhythm of the work that's taking place. So if you picture the scene, we're in a pirogue, a canoe on the Niger River, and there's a young man who's punting the pirogue at the back of the boat, and you hear the sound of the oar, the sort of paddle, and the rhythm of the song just fits in with the movement that he's making to propel the boat along. And then the sound of the river, you can just sort of hear the atmosphere of the river around you. So all these things, for me, create a very vivid picture of this work, which, to be honest, doesn't sound too laborious or too hard. It's actually rather enjoyable work, and I just love the way that the music really comes out of the rhythm of the work he's doing.
O baba ni don so tekele ni mama. O baba ni don so tekele ni. Don so baba ni don so tekele ni. So amita so. O baba ni don so tekele ni mama. O baba ni don so tekele ni mama. Dozo nagarani dozo tekne ni so amita so. Kya kaimani ke to tekne ni baba. Nagarani ma to tekne ni mano. Tuavo nagarani ma to tekne ni so amita so. Ni ma to tekne ni mano. Nazarani mata ote kelenye mano. Tubabu ni mata ote kelenye mano. Nazarati babu ni mata ote kelenye. So, amikaso. Aye! Nganangawala. Nganangawala. Ate dakanyi. Anura banyana. Banazara. Banazara. Akwai nazara wala, akwai nazara wala, babu tewa, karun dawa, wuya kuro, akwai dadunga, aya mire ka mire, aya mune kutamaja, aya mune ka mune, mune rabana, maro bana, siro bana, jinta, angwai masaye, alaye masaye, si baba, akwai akwako, akwai nazara wala, akwai nazara wala,
A boatman song from Mali there, one of the choices of Simon Broughton. And you're absolutely right, Simon, the sound of the wood, the instrument, if you like, and the medium, the water, and the man himself, they're all sort of integral to the whole package.
And if he was having to punt faster and the weather was different, the song would have to be different. That's what I love about that. If it was a different speed, it might be a completely different song.
OK, let's prove that point then. And move on to Sam's next choice, which brings us back home.
Yeah, and in fact, in some ways, hearing that piece and that, the kind of the trio of the tonality of the water and the wood is really important, and in some ways is implied in this song, the clover hacking song. It's a gypsy rhyme, just a kind of fragment that was sung to the sound of the scything of the clover. So, but because this was made in the caravan and not out in the field, we'll have to imagine the sound of grass and clover flowers being cut up. But it's a man called Jasper Smith, recorded in the early 70s by Mike Yates, and he had many different work songs, just these little one verses each. But this one is so exotic and beautiful, and he talks a little bit about where it was sung.
You could see the little busy boys into the mother's clover hack away day by day, then to the month is over.
That was when I was a little boy. Talk that when I was a little boy, when the men used to scythe the clover down. They used to do it with a scythe. Yeah. Do you know?
Is this what the travellers used to do?
Or? Yeah, scythe it. The travellers used to go around and scythe the clover and used to scythe beans, peas for cattle, and corn. Just all that scything work. And that's the song we used to sing. See the little busy boys into the mother's clover, hack away day by day into the month is over.
Jasper Smith there. And it's so short and sweet, Sam. I've got to hear it again. Would you sing it?
Yeah, and in fact, it's one that I sing as a round and love teaching kids.
It's got that feeling about it, yes.
But I've had to change it a little bit, but I mean, it's one that you listeners out there do the download or play again, and you can, yeah, you
sing
can
it
learn
as a
it.
Round.
I sing it as, can you see the little busy boys into the mother's clover? Hack away day by day into the month is over.
It's so lovely. Yeah. And also, I like the fact that the rhythm and the actual work that's being done is all packaged up into the song. Mm. It's actually
talking
so about
nice
what's going
to
on.
To hear it with yes. the scything happening, yeah. wouldn't it?
The songs do change once you take the physical element of it. The songs that I know best are the walking songs, the shrinking of the Tweed from the Gaelic Northwest and islands. And as soon as you do take them up onto a stage and you don't have heavy, damp cloth in front of you the groove is completely different.
There's a different animation in them, completely. In fact, when I do sing it with groups, I do get the kind of to mime the scything. But actually, what I will say is so magic about this as well is the, can you see the little busy boys into the mother's clover, hack away day by day, into the month is over. There's this strange language that that I think is very impressionistic and really evocative of this idea of entering into the kind of mother's domain, Mother Earth. And I feel there's something very atavistic about the lyrics in that song as well.
Well, let's follow the maybe the gypsy connection this time and come back to yourself, Simon, and heading out east.
Yes, this is a moment in life song. You know, we have work songs. The other thing that songs are very much associated with are sort of births, marriages and deaths. Now, this is a marriage song from Romania. And this is a wedding I was at. I was actually filming at the wedding for a BBC documentary. And one thinks, oh, wedding songs, they're probably happy. one of the central moments of the Romanian weddings are these really tearful wedding songs. And I can't tell you, in the little house where this was happening, everybody was just in floods of tears, dabbing their eyes. The bride who's singing the song is, you know, dressed up in her sort of wedding costume. In her hand, she's got a bottle of plum brandy in a bottle, which she's holding and waving from side to side. Well, she's saying, "Don't cry for me, I will be all right. If I've ever done anything wrong for you, I'm so sorry, I apologise. There's no children who hasn't in some ways hurt their parents." And it's sort of like she's, you know, leaving home forever. And in fact, she was only moving about 200 yards down the road. and people just dabbing their eyes all around. It's extraordinary ritualistic moment, sort of with sort of half improvised but half sort of set words. An incredible emotion, I think.
Music from Maramureș in Romania, which is, Simon, a rather old-fashioned...
Yeah, it's one of
but it's a sort of track caught in time.
Favourite parts of Romania. It's up in the northwest, and it's really where the traditional culture has survived best. So after the bride's farewell tragic song, you know, of course, there's a dance.
Everybody gets over themselves.
Exactly. And then it's a happy occasion. And in fact, the violinist in that recording is a guy called George Kovac, who is the son of a violinist that Béla Bartók recorded in Maramureș in the early years of the 20th century. So, you know, a real historical thread, a direct connection.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking a little earlier when we were picking out the music for this special programme and talking a little about the difference between capturing something in the field and recreating something, or even just taking it away from the task in hand and recording it in the house. And I suppose most people encounter walking songs, the Shrinking of the Tweed, in recreated format, but that for me doesn't make it any the less, I don't think.
What would people be doing when they were singing these songs in its original form?
It would be the whole of the community, the female side of the community. Men were banned. A board would be set on its side. Sometimes it would be the door off its hinges. A grooved piece of wood so that it was very rough. And the loose, open woven tweed just come off the loom would have been steeped in an agent.
What agent would that be, Marianne?
Very carefully collected barrel of stale pea, and the ammonia that's created with this would help to speed the work along. It would be the work of a whole day to bring a length of tweed to the right width and to tighten it to the point of being able to wash it and then have it move on and become clothing or whatever was going to happen.
Were there sort of overpowering odours in this process?
There were overpowering odours of all sorts of things, of hay, of manure, of the sea, of rotting seaweed, of, you know, that's it's real life. But certainly it was heavy duty work.
But it's also the metaphor of that they're all connected to this one piece of cloth, this kind of this tapestry, this fabric of the community is.
Absolutely. And the women would be familiar with each other, would know who was sitting beside whom. The pattern of working the tweed back and forth and crosswise, passing the cloth on, would really need people to know each other very well so that the work was done evenly and you got a good piece of cloth, well woven and well finished at the end.
Are the songs improvised or are they singing set words?
There's lots of different kinds of things going on in the songs. This song comes from a group of women based in Glasgow. They're called Banal. And this is a girl called Margaret Callan leading the rest of them with a song called Mairith Nunkudiat.
Ah!
Margaret Callan and Banal there, and Mairead na cuidead. Mairead being a woman who's been spurned by her lover, but she still says that he was worth it. Not sure what I think about that, but certainly when you find a group of women like that together and singing with that energy and verve, you kind of feel like you wouldn't want to mess with them. And certainly the archive recordings that were made in the 50s, the ladies that were involved then would very definitely have been people that you paid attention to.
They probably had really strong fists as well from all that kneading.
Exactly so. Anyway, let's sort of chill out a little bit after all that exertion, and something a little gentler now, Sam.
Yeah, well, this is the other side of the communal female voices, the lullaby tradition. We usually think of lullabies being quite a private, one-on-one experience of just mother to child. But in this recording from the Solomon Islands, it's a recording of the polyphonic singing from Guadalcanal. It's the lullabies are sung communally, and this is the woman who takes the lead on this. Is singing the child to sleep, saying that she has no arms or legs, for she is the snake mother. And you can hear within the harmonies behind, there's the hissing coming through to animate this idea. It's one of the ancient stories of the Solomon Islands, of the snake woman.
Lullabies, it's interesting you talk about the sort of the communal approach there. Lullabies, I think, are quite deceptive things as well, because they have oftentimes a darker undertow going, where the women can talk about things that perhaps they wouldn't be able to talk about in public or share with anyone else other than with their baby.
Yeah, I've always questioned whether are they preparation for the child of the darkness yet to come, or are they also an opportunity for the mother to express the concerns and the fears that she has for her child?
And lullabies, one thinks, are generally sung to children before they can actually understand what they're being... the words that are being sung at them. So maybe it's also a way of getting something personally off your chest as a mother that perhaps is a taboo subject or is something that's quite difficult to talk about, and at least you can talk about it or sing about it to somebody who doesn't understand.
Well, the children being sung to here, I think, are in much more safe and comfortable surroundings in the care of the snake mother here.
Tondo mama tanong iya le mama tondo kukua tanong iya le Tondo a kukua a nyimbae goe na tona Tondo a kukua a nyimbae goe kakau na Mm-hmm.
world around them informing the music once again there as they imitate the hissing of the snake in that Verses from Guadalcanal, one of Sam Lee's choices in tonight's special programme on Why Music. Simon Broughton, birth and childhood lets us take a step into the kind of rites of passage.
Yes, it's cradle to grave. And I'm going to play a funeral lament. And this is from Georgia and from high up in the Caucasus Mountains. I was there many years ago and actually by accident heard a funeral lament. Now, this isn't my recording. This is off a record made in the 1990s. And what strikes me so much about this is really how full of lamentation it is. I think in our life, funerals have become so, in a way, sanitized, and everything is comforting and comfortable. And, yeah, you can understand why, in a way, you want to have a good feeling when someone's died. What strikes me about this is how horrifying the lamentation is. And you've got the men singing a choral polyphonic song, and then in the background the women just sort of shrieking these sharp piercing screams. And there's something that really I think sets the hairs on the back of your neck standing up, because it's so powerful and actually full of fear. That's what I love so much about Svanetia, where this is from, is that everything is angular, rawer, harsher, more profound than almost anywhere else I've been. So if you can bear it, this is a funeral lament from Svanetia in Georgia.
Oh.
music from Georgia, and it struck me as I began to listen to the men, especially, that it had an element of the funeral bands in New Orleans, that kind of expression of just heaviness and trying to get it all out there. But the voices do it in a way that only that particular instrument can, the human voice.
And you can see that it can have a cathartic effect, I think. Mm. You probably feel better for having done that.
I think there's also something wonderful about where they're singing at a funeral for the whole community there. You know that everybody who's singing there knows that that song will be sung for their funeral too. And how powerful that is, that, you know, that's all we have, each other, in the end. It's
really probably the most striking of all the music that we've played tonight. Mm. Beautiful as and amazing as all of it is, that one's definitely going to stay with me. Now, I suppose we can't really do a programme like this without a little bit of Alan Lomax and a little bit of, if not Chain Gang, at least the recordings that he made in the Mississippi State Penitentiary. Now, I know that you, Sam, danced around whether you were maybe going to pick something of this, but then you thought that one of the others might. So we'll throw it in anyway. Now, Simon, talking about, as we were earlier, about recreating things and actually capturing things for real, you've posited a theory about this one.
I'm very suspicious about this recording. Much as I love Alan Lomax, it's supposed to be people chopping wood. Well, it doesn't sound like axes on wood.
It's true, there are theories that some of them were set up, but I think that was only a practicality of, surely, that it didn't mean they didn't exist.
No, I'm certainly not saying that, but I think... as we've heard from the recordings today, it makes such a difference when the work is real, whether, you know, yeah, when the funeral is real, when the boatman is real,
yes,
or recreated like the walking song. You know, there was a real truth behind those recordings.
And for all that, the music is still also very, very good. So we'll listen just now to Old Alabama.
Did you hear about a blue Alabama?
Alan Lomax, and one of the recordings that he made in the Mississippi State Penitentiary at Parchman Farm, and recording there a group who I think we can say they would have been chopping wood at some point, and probably with those songs, but maybe just not there.
And it's not wanting to darken Alan Lomax's reputation.
No,
at
not
all.
At all. Not
I
at
think
all.
The great thing that Lomax did was go out and record ordinary people and show the world that this music was worth recording and worth treasuring. And the mindset, particularly at that time, I think was very important to understand that, you know, it didn't have to be symphonies and cantatas and elite products that were celebrated, but ordinary people's musical creativity. And that's what was the genius of Lomax, I'd say.
Absolutely. And the fact that he travelled globally. When you look at the archive in its entirety, it's just mind-boggling that one person should have made connection across so many peoples and so many communities.
And the theories that he had about the voice and how different traditions use their voices in different ways and the implication they had. I think what's wonderful about that recording, it's Parchman Farm Penitentiary, and I think Shirley Collins was with him on that trip at the same time. I was just reading there, and I wonder what the effect of having a very beautiful young blonde English woman had on the performances of those guys. Maybe Shirley could tell us.
We'll have to get her in to find out.
She'll tell us if it was a real recording.
Exactly.
I know she's going to let the mystery carry on. Well, I'm going to head back home again briefly, because Lomax, of course, recorded in Scotland as well and up in the islands. And I have a pet thing about cows, and doesn't need to be from home territory. The cow represents something special in so many communities and cultures worldwide, and certainly from the rural, very poor classes in the islands. The cow was the sum total of your wealth, oftentimes, and therefore they were treasured. I'm really fortunate in that people like Alan Lomax, Seamus Ennis, they were around and recording in the 50s, so some of my own family were captured going back to singing much younger than I am now. And this is just a little fragment. This is one of my cow songs that I'm very fond of. And my own great-grandmother, Anna Montgomery, used to sing this, bringing her own cattle home in the evening. And cows have a particular gait, and it's very gentle and contented if they're well looked after. And this is, although the other cattle would be away out there, my own heifer would come to me. Get yanny croch a chymwy hygych mych dawn. 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 O gynny mych yanny mych, gynny ag mych ydyw. O gynny ag mych yanny mych, gynny ag mych ydyw. O gynny ag mych yanny mych, gynny ag mych ydyw. O gynny ag mych bydach molaet nam iawn.
Well, very contented cows, I suspect.
I hope so. We used to get to bring the cows home when we were wee, and home in Skye for
so
the holidays.
Yeah.
I have tried it out, but I rather suspect that having sent two little 8 and 9 year old townies to go up looking for the cattle, I rather suspect that they were well able to find their own way home without our assistance, songs or no songs. So let's turn to another of your, well, probably your final selection, I think, Sam. Where are you going to take us now?
Yeah, well, there is a kind of cattle-cow connection in this one.
Oh, good.
purely by coincidence, actually, but it's another piece from Romania. It's the Alpine Horns, a recording of, and you can actually hear, if you listen to the recording, it's made out by a river where they be playing. There's about four or five of these Alp horns. It's ensemble Tulnicares, and it's a piece of music called the Sipotl, and it's unbelievable set of droning horns. Sipotl Ziranaita in Doi and Rogojana is the name of the piece, and it was a practice that was there to communicate across valleys through the forest. It was actually originally to signify oncoming war, but then became a form of communication between herdsmen.
You can begin to understand, actually, hearing these horns, how people that grow up in a particular country but are brought into the sort of classical music mainstream, how things like that can start to get into your ears and start making parallels with that other particular world.
I mean, it's traditional music, but it's immensely complex, and some of the chordal patterns they're creating would boggle some of the big composers to understand how they could organise that without it probably being noted as well. It's pretty impressive, really.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to spend a very short period of time with you both as we sort of delve into one side of why music. And I think we've put forward a fairly convincing reasoning of why music, because humans are just, it's part of us and what we do and how we make what we do move on. Sam Lee, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank
and
you,
Simon Broughton, we're going to give you the last choice of music.
Very good. And funnily enough, we go back to the Solomon Islands. And I should say, I've never been to the Solomon Islands. Everything else I've picked are things that I've seen in situ and experienced or recorded. The reason for picking this is that, of course, this music now more and more goes on stage. Now, Narasirato, the band who are playing here, I saw at WOMAD Festival a few years ago, fantastic bamboo band from the Solomon Islands. And in a way, the idea of this example is to show how people take something that's based in a tradition and then take it out, polish it up a bit, put it on stage and take it to the wider world, which is obviously what Songlines, my magazine, is doing, what Radio 3 is doing, what all of us in our own ways are doing, Sam in his song collecting is doing. So this song is called, it has a title in the local language, which I won't say, but My Culture Is My Life. And so it's talking about how you should be careful with your culture because it's valuable to the world, and how if you don't take care of it, you'll lose it. And these are important messages, I think, for preserving indigenous culture and resources and ecology around the world.
And it's a perfect track to finish off a programme like this. Sam and Simon, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Music from the Solomon Islands, ending that Why Music edition of World on Three. It was introduced by Marianne Kennedy and the producer was Roger Short. I'm Max Reinhardt and we're about to continue Radio 3's Why Music with a very special live edition of Lake Junction, just after this.
BBC Radio 3 invites you to a world premiere. The longest single piece of music ever broadcast live on the BBC. BBC Radio 3 invites you to sleep. From tomorrow at midnight until 8 a.m. the following morning, Radio 3 and Welcome Collection present the world premiere live broadcast of Max Richter's 8-hour lullaby, Sleep. Turn on Radio 3 overnight and listen to Sleep in the way it was intended. Sleep by Max Richter. Tomorrow, live on BBC Radio 3 at midnight. Part of Why Music. Radio 3's weekend of questions and answers at Welcome Collection for the incurably curious.
You're listening to Why Music Welcome Collection and BBC Radio 3's weekend of live music, events, debate and discussion devoting to finding out what makes music a fundamental part of being human. I'm Max Reinhardt. Welcome to this special edition of Late Junction. And next to me on this stage, I have a double Sony Gold Award winning documentarist, all-round broadcaster, Radio 1 presenter and instigator of Body of Songs. That's a collection of songs about body parts, which is what brings us together tonight at Welcome Collection with a packed and friendly crowd. Yeah,
So
good evening,
so
Gemma.
Exciting. Hello, I'm Gemma Kearney. I kind of moonlight quite a lot these days, but mostly I'm on Radio 1. I do the surgery, which is kind of fitting on a Wednesday night. And we talk about what goes on in our minds and hearts and different issues, quite a lot from a teenage perspective. But I also try and choose tunes that relate to some of our problems. So it kind of makes sense tonight. Body of Songs is something that's very special to me. You're going to have to go with us and go on the journey and find out why. Tonight we have got live and direct songs being performed from the Body of Songs project. I'm so excited. I haven't even seen these perform myself. African Boy, Ghost Poet, Screw Fizzer representing the blood, the liver and the larynx. But without further ado, let's start at the kidneys. Let's meet Mara Carlisle and Max de Wardner.